watch, therefore, for ye know not. What hour your Lord doth come. Is that the only reason for watching, when we know not? Or should we watch because we know that He is coming? Should we watch because we know that the thief is coming in the night? You see, the Lord gave us this not to watch in uncertainty, but that we know not. He wants us that we know for sure that we do not know exactly the time when the Lord is coming. And there is a time when we think, oh, it must be now. Any moment. Oh, wonderful. Just wait and see. But there is a time when we feel, oh, probably not for long. That's the time that is dangerous and time of perils, time of falling, time of not watching. At the very beginning of this meeting, suddenly, without any previous introduction or explanation, I got very joyful and very cheerful. And then we started reading this, verse 42, watch therefore. Can one watch and be cheerful? Or do we watch only when we are fearful? How is that? He told us also the story of the, well, I think it's in the next chapter, 25, the beginning, the 10 virgins. When they were waiting for the bridegroom, were they waiting with some depressed anticipation, thinking, oh, is he coming? Oh, wow, he's coming. No, I don't think so. We can watch and be cheerful. I don't say that I am very much used to that. But that's a spiritual art of having the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling and ruling in our hearts. No, our problem is that we don't keep the King on the throne. We often put there some concern, a worry, a fear. We don't keep His commandments on the plates of our heart. We frequently have some explanations, interpretations. And sometimes, literal understanding of the Word of God, exactly where it should not be. That happens. That's all human. But the Lord wanted us to watch. Well, let's think about that. Verse 45. Who is then that faithful and wise servant? So that to be a servant of the Lord and to do His will, we need a few virtues, few talents, as we already listened to in the beginning of this message, this meeting. One is faithfulness, and second, wisdom. Now, it's not the other way around. It's not first wisdom and then faithfulness. No. We don't learn faithfulness by wisdom. We just don't. We learn wisdom by faithfulness. It's always first obedience. First, forward, up front goes the Ark of the Covenant with the commandments of the Lord, and we follow. And that is the wisdom. We need faithfulness and then wisdom. Did anyone ever have too much of either? So there is time for praying and striving. In all of that, yes, there are moments of difficulties, of remorse. When I see that I did something wrong, how can I be happy about that? Of course not. But there is also time of comfort, joy, and cheering because the Lord did it. In spite of my weaknesses and shortcomings, misunderstandings, limited understanding and all of that. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now, I know not when he is coming, but I'll be blessed if he finds me doing that. So, there is no vacation in faithfulness, no vacation in wisdom. It goes on as long as we live. That's not the only thing. We shouldn't be surprised. Our heart never takes a vacation, physical heart. If it take a short break, that would be it for us. You see? Our mind never takes a complete rest. You know? There are many things that the Lord has given us in this life, even physical things, temporary things, and they keep going on and on. It does not mean that it's always unbearable burden and labor and so on, that we are always exhausted and drained of our strength and so on. No. Our heart can beat. I'm talking about the physical heart. Can beat cheerfully, happily, joyfully, and still working full strength. And so is our spiritual man. The Lord wants us to be on guard. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be wise. Why? To make it difficult for us? No. To make us blessed, to make us happy, to make us joyful. But now let's be careful. The joy and happiness, the feeling of joy and happiness is not our goal. Our goal is faithfulness and wisdom. And joy and happiness come along with that. But the weakness of the Christians ever since the beginning was when we pray fervently, when we pray with our whole heart and we beg and we plead and we, oh Lord, give us this or that. And the Lord gave us that and we don't see it. We keep praying, just like for Peter's deliverance. Peter is at the door and he's knocking and knocking and they still keep praying and just tell Rhodopis, be quiet, we are praying. See, it's important and necessary to see that there is a time for everything and that everything is not vanity and vexation to the Spirit in the Lord. It's in the world. It's under the sun. Our Lord is way above. And when we are in Him, there is joy and there is peace. And at times, some of us had that experience and I wish we all had it. The peace and the joy in the tempest. The ship will flip-flap over, capsize, go down and so on. It's in the Lord's hands. Let it go. Let it be. Another thing that was very important, I think, well, one of the brethren here just short time ago said that he would rather be quiet than be the fourth speaker in the meeting. And I can see at one point in that, often for me it's the other way around. I'd rather be the second or third speaker. Because the more I listen, the more there is to share. It's just somehow stirring up and generating new thoughts when we listen to the Word of God, providing we are not exhausted or too tired, or you know, that's possible too, or distracted. Well, that's unfortunate, but that happens too. One important thing that we see throughout the history of the believers is to understand the times and the signs of the times. The Jews in the days of the Lord's personal preaching, it's very difficult to talk about the Lord's ministry because everything is Lord's ministry. And it, but I say personal, even though I know that everything in this book is His personal, but I hope you understand what I mean. When the Lord was here walking in the flesh and He was teaching the people, He said to the Jews, woe unto you, because you have not. He was talking to Jerusalem. Of course, He was not talking to the buildings and walls and so on. He was talking to the people that lived in Jerusalem and those that whose faith was based on the things in Jerusalem. And He said, woe unto you. Your house is left unto you desolate because you have not known the times and the signs of the times. Why? Why they did not understand that? Why did the children of Israel not understand that the serpent of brass had its purpose and it's done, it's finished, now you can just leave it aside? Why did they have to take that serpent and put it as an idol and offer incense and sacrifices to an idol? Why they had to make an idol of something that was given by the Word of God for a certain purpose, for a certain time, and then it's done? The children of Israel, the Jews mainly, but some other ones too, they could not see that there is a time that this temple, this earthly temple, will complete and finish its purpose. It's time to be that temple be destroyed. They just couldn't see that. And they couldn't see that the ordinances in the Levitical law had a temporary purpose, and now it's finished, it's done. Forget it. Just leave it. Take the spiritual lesson from that and go your way, receive the new message and follow the Lord. They cannot do that. I want to now touch a very sensitive point. This place where we are served its purpose. The program that we were involved in served its purpose. It's finished, it's done, and we are looking for the new guidance. We have to go on our way and follow the Lord. And not to keep clutching to one another or to the remnant of these things, to the earthly things that we have here, no. Praise the Lord, it's over. A new step. Let's go. Let's do what the Lord is teaching us to do. Or would anyone like to get an early retirement and let the Lord work alone and we mind our own business and think about some little happy end and I will just live a few more years and be very comfortable and enjoy it and so on, and then suddenly one night or at noontime or whenever the Lord is coming and what happened to my land? There is no oil. It's dying. You know what that means? I am dying. And that's the most awful thing that can happen. Watch. The Lord said in the verse 42, watch therefore. In which chapter is that? 26 or somewhere there. He said again to the disciples, watch and pray. He showed the style. How to watch. Watching is not just looking around. Watching is looking up to the Lord. Watching means communicating, having the fellowship with the Lord Himself. Now, this servant here, he needed a few talents, few qualities to be the servant of the Lord. Then, he needed a hope, as Brother Nan said. We need something ahead of us, something that we are reaching towards, striving for, and so on. The Lord says in the verse 46, blessed is that servant. You see, it's very important for us to see the blessedness of the Lord for us. Yes, for us, for His people, for His purpose, for His calling in what we are doing. Not necessarily food and drink and shelter and raiment and so on. Don't we need all of that? Yes, we do, but He knows. And He told us, don't pray for that. Let not your life be centered around these temporary things. Use all the available temporary things, all the clothing, all the food, all the shelter, all whatever you have, all the time and physical health. Use it all in the service of the Lord. That's not the main thing. It's only ways and means that you use to serve the Lord. He says, verily I say unto you that the Lord will make this servant ruler over all things. Now, is he talking about eternity? There will be only one ruler over all things. If we serve the Lord one moment, next moment He will make us ruler over the things in which we served. And if we serve Him in the more things, He will make us rulers over the more things. And in this life, on this earth, He will make us kings and priests. If we but forsake everything and leave everything and follow him. Verily, verily, I say unto you that there is none among those that will follow me who will not receive, even in this life, 100 times as much. Just think about that. You lose 100 friends when you turn to the Lord. But if you gain one, that one will be more than the other 100. See? We might lose all the land that is called ours, our property, our possession, or whatever it is, our title. And gain just a square foot or fraction of a square foot of land where we are going to step to make next step following the Lord. That one is more, 100 times more than all the, this whole globe. Who cares for everything? It's going to burn up and went up in smoke. You see, the Lord is giving the opposite example in the verse 48, and he says, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Oh, what an awful thing. First, we should beware that there is no evil in our heart. If there is no evil in our heart, there is no evil, period. Evil can be successful only if it is in our heart. Why? There is the ground of our being. That's where the seed falls and grows. If the evil is in our heart, it should grow. It will grow. It will threaten. It will make damage. Get it out. That's all we can. Watch and pray. It's much easier to say than to do, but it's important to say, to believe, and do. To the faithful and good servant, the Lord gave a job, something to work. He says, the Lord has made him ruler, to rule. Now, a ruler in the Lord, especially in the New Testament times, doesn't have to use enforcement. No. He just says the word of God, and he himself sticks to that and just keep it. And if anyone else will keep it, praise the Lord. That's more than 100 of those that will not. If none will, follow the Lord. That's it. Now, we might all, not only the few of us here, but all the believers all over the world may say, well, we all mainly agree on that. We agree that we should be watchful, that we should be zealous, that we should obey the Lord. Our only problem is, and we don't know why, the Lord gave him different commandments and different commandments to me, and we just don't know how to work together. No, he didn't. Let's be careful that we don't have different lords. That's awful. That's important. That's terrible. We have different lords. We cannot, as brother said, serve God and mammon. Did you really say it, or did I just somehow heard that in between? But in any case, to give, the Lord made him ruler over his household. Oh, that's a certain property, certain possession. There are some limits. Well, it's true in a general sense that the Lord is the possessor of heaven and earth. Everything is his. But to his faithful servants, he did not give unlimited work without frame. You know, just everywhere we go and we mix into everybody's interest in everyone's work and so on, and we just feel entitled of ruling over everything. No, that's wrong. He gave that this is a household. He told us that this is a household, and he gave to this servant a certain frame of his work. Don't leave your frame and jump into somebody else's. That's fatal. That's dangerous. No, your own. Know our own frame of work, what the Lord has given us, and do that. And don't worry if somebody else is not doing his part. Just mind your own business in the Lord and let the Lord take care of the rest. Don't get distracted. Then he says to give them meat in due season. There is a job and there is a time. There is a schedule. So, important thing for us in the Lord's service is to know when is the time for what. And sometimes it might be difficult when in the same family one is afraid and one is sad and another one is cheerful. And how do you maintain and you give to everyone what is necessary and still do what is necessary for you? You also get hungry and thirsty and tired and so on. Well, somehow the Lord can do that. And he has not asked us to do impossible. Just always better. Always strive for better. What was the awful mistake of the evil servant? He had some evil in his heart. That evil confused him and caused him to think in the wrong way. And what was the wrong thinking? Thinking, my Lord delayeth his coming. What does that mean? Did he think, well, apparently my Lord intended to come this year, this month, this day, but now he changed his mind. It's an awful thing to think that the Lord will change his mind. We see some constancy, some persistency, some duration that the character of God does not change. When he created everything, he looked, and behold, everything is good. And then, after thousands and thousands of years, the Jews asked him, can a man divorce his wife for just any reason? That means depending on his personal mood. And the Lord did not say, well, you see, these times are different and changed. You are not now in your own kingdom, let alone in the Garden of Eden. You are not in the situation that was after the flood when there are only God's people and so on. You are under the Roman empires and under a foreign rule, and there are many strangers and so on. And really, how can a man be so patient that he just go along and live with his wife all of his life? No, he didn't say that. None of that. What he said, go back to beginning and see what God did, and that's what you do. And don't be smart in your own thoughts and think that you can do something better. He made it and he saw that it was good. It's good. And don't you dare to change it. Or you are rebels. Of course, they didn't love him for that. They hated him. They wanted to stone him to death. They wanted to crucify him. They wanted to do anything just to not to hear the voice of the truth. Why? They were that kind of servants. Not only they had evil in their hearts, they had an evil Lord whom they served and worshipped. And they were awfully faithful to him. And if they did not repent, they will share eternity with him. That's the only reward that they can get for serving that Lord. This one said, my Lord changed his mind, and now it's different. Who did change his mind? The Lord? No, the servant. My Lord delayed his coming. Is that true? No. The servant delayed obedience. He is now disobedient. And he began to smite his fellow servant. He was supposed to rule, not to smite. He was supposed to rule. And if he was a good servant, he would have ruled. He would proclaim the word of God and he would have kept the word of God himself. He begins to smite his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunken. Remember? Our Lord said to the disciples after talking to the Samaritan woman, I have a meal that ye know not of. What was the meal of this servant? Fellowship with evil, with drunkenness, with indulging in excessive enjoyment of earthly things. He did not eat because he needed some strength to serve the Lord, but he ate and drank with the drunken, with the sinful. He had fellowship with evil. And what happened? The Lord of that servant did not change his mind. He did not delay his coming. He was there right on time. But that time was an awful surprise to this servant. Shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. Oh, that's it. That's the old problem. From the beginning, hypocrisy, lies. The people lie in the face of God. The woman that thou hast given me, she gave me, that's why I ate. That's a lie. He ate because he wanted to. If he didn't want to eat, he wouldn't have eaten. That's the truth. I ate because I believed a lie and I forgot thy truth and I didn't care for thy commandment. That's why I transgressed. Too bad he didn't say the truth at that time. But it was necessary that we realize the truth. That we see how sinful sin is. That we understand through the severity of God's laws the measureless degree of His holiness. You know, if God was tolerating sin, paradise would not be paradise. It would be just another hell. There is no tolerance for sin. But there is repentance. Praise the Lord for that. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we are sure we don't want that part. We want to be the rulers of many things. As many things as the Lord has given us. We want to be the rulers over impatience. We want to be the rulers of patience. We want to be the rulers over fear. We want to be the rulers in the fear of God. And so on. Many wonderful things are there to rule with. To rule over and also to rule under the master ruler. It's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. That humble preacher from Nazareth, in his simple parables, is the master teacher. There is just no greater teacher than him in this book or outside this book. There is one more thing that I want to share with you, and I hope that we will have a special meeting not later than Wednesday night as our farewell meeting, because there are so many things in my heart that I believe we should share. But as we are here together, there is one thing that I want to share. It's not a rebuke. It's a cry from my heart. Being in the battle that we are, and counting the last months or years, hopefully days, of tearing here and just waiting to see what is next, and striving to be watchful and prayerful. There is one thing that is continually omitted and neglected, and that is the Lord's Supper. We should have used this time before your departure for the Lord's Supper. Now, as always, we have a few excuses. First, there is no full unity in the faith among us here. Second, not all of us are at the Lord's table. Third, some of us are in the time and season that in the law the Lord said, let them not go, let those go not to the battle, but spend a year with the gifts that the Lord has given them or the duties that He has entrusted to them and so on. Yes, all of that being the truth, still cannot deny the fact